call it order? All right, let's call this meeting of the Executive Committee of the Economic Development Authority to order today. It's June 25th, shortly after 10:30 a.m. Amy, you want to call the roll?
Sure. Members present today include Bruce Beckris, Charlie Johnson, Kathy Cochran. Others present include Dan Molly, Chris Volkers, and Derek LaPointe.
Okay. Thank you. Are there anybody want to make any amendments, propose any amendments to the agenda?
I don't have.
You don't?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Hearing none, then we need to approve two sets of minutes. First of all, for March 23rd. Would anyone like a motion to approve the March 23rd minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Would anyone like to second it?
I will second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Okay, would anyone like to make a motion to approve the May 15th minutes?
I'll make that too.
Bruce made the motion. Anyone like to second?
I'll second it.
Kathy, thank you. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor of approving the May 15th, 2018 minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Okay. Are there any citizens here to address the board on anything that's not on the agenda? Doesn't look like it. Okay. All right. Unfinished business. Moving forward, next step. So we want to just talk about this a little bit. We'll do also have this conversation at our next meeting, I believe. It's on the agenda. Dan Molly, the assistant city manager, is that your correct title?
Correct.
Assistant, not deputy.
Assistant.
Okay. Is going to be our staff liaison in the interim period, correct, Ms. Volkers?
Yes.
Yes. And so he'll be the one that I'll be talking to about agenda items and so forth, along with Cindy, of course. And
or Amy.
Amy. I'm sorry.
That's
going to
happen.
That's going to happen. I'm sorry. Amy, yes.
I like your response.
We're just rolling. I wish I could have seen it. So Dan will be taking care of that, and we're just going to hopefully roll forward, and he will keep us apprised of things we want to talk about. So. Anything you want to add to that?
Thanks for your support, and you know I have no interest in being EDA director. And so, as we figure out the plan, it'll just be good to have this communication and this work continue because it's so important.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the way it'll work.
Do we have any concept of what's going to happen? The true next steps?
Yeah, exactly. That would be my next question.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
If we have a gentleman who does not want to be an EDA director.
No, everything happened so fast and caught me off guard at the end. So, no, we don't have a plan yet. We're just trying to, we've been talking to Amy and trying to keep the communication open with everybody. And we want to draw you guys in more. And I think Dan will talk a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, as far as replacing it. Legally, in the interim, I'm the EDA director de facto, but like Charlie said, Dan's going to staff you guys with Amy's help. So, yeah, everything. We'll just keep rolling. And as we get calls, we've had a couple calls. You know, Dan and I kind of parse it out between us, and Amy helps us with responding and so forth. So we're kind of got a team kind of management going here. So we're doing the best we can. If you hear complaints, please let us know.
Okay.
Well, and I've been, I've had conversations with Chris and with Dan and also with Derek, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but we need staff support because we're not, we are an advisory board and we all have jobs and we don't have the expertise, as even Dan said, he doesn't have necessarily the expertise either, but we're going to need guidance, and our role is to respond when people bring us all things to look at. If we want to change anything, we need to see the alternatives and find out why. I mean, that's what the staff person does for us. We're not set up to be an independent, wholly separate operating board without some sort of staff liaison. So this will be good in the interim. And we may have to, we'll do the best we can to help. If we have to have more meetings, we can have more meetings. Or if you want to have individual meetings, there may be more executive committee meetings if there are some issues we want to talk about. That's just off the top of my head. I think that might happen, just so we have a better sense, so I'm not the only one who has to try to decide how we want to respond to these things. I would like to have some help with that.
I think, you know, our goal should be that we keep momentum within the city in whatever transition and support the EDA team in whatever way we can, so it makes sense that we would be more involved during the transition.
Yeah, and as we said earlier, I don't think, again, obviously, Chris doesn't really have anything to add to this yet either. I assume that the hiring process is going to relate to the budget process as you move into the fall. So it would probably be unrealistic to think there's going to be hired a full-time EDA director anytime before the round of the first of the year.
I don't think so. It takes a long time anyway to go through that process for an executive. And we'll just kind of do the best we can as we plan in this interim.
I mean, you can't really even advertise for it until you have a plan in place that the city council has approved, which really involves finishing the budget first, right?
Exactly.
And the timeline for that is not until...
So the preliminary is in September. Okay. So we'll work on your budget, too, because you'll want to let us know what you want. And then the final is, you know, in December. But we'll know after the preliminary. We'll have a decent feeling the end of September.
But you probably wouldn't be able to start a search until it was officially...
Yeah.
So you're really not even going to be able to begin your search until January 1st.
Q2 probably, This is going to be a long interim. That's why we decided a team management approach would work.
So. Well, hang in there, Dan.
Hang in there, Dan. Not that he doesn't have another job.
No, this is good. I mean, Amy, the last week or two, has just been so supportive and does such a great job. And so we just have to, find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be taking... too much credit for this meeting or future meetings, then we've got a lot of staff support that's very helpful.
Well, and also communication, I assume, will work, between the three of us as we're trying to set up agendas and things like that. So I'm not gonna be fearful of calling either one of them. I'm gonna call them, and then if you need to run something by Chris, you can, or Chris obviously can call me if she has some concern with something. That's kind of the way I see it going.
And I think Charlie and I will be doing most of the bills, signing off on that. So it'll be like a full team approach everywhere.
And then how about the other meetings that our director would go to, the Greater Fargo-Moorhead and all these other things that we're contributing to? You guys will be...
Dan and I are going to try to split it up.
You're going to try to split it up. Mm-hmm. So
we have a presence.
We're paying money. I mean, we want to know that, first of all, that we're still at the table, and second of all, we want to know feedback, it's important.
Yeah, we need to, for sure, somebody needs to keep liaising with the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development Corporation, which is in its own transition right now. Their new president will start in a couple of weeks, I understand.
Yeah.
Like July 16th, I think, was the last thing I heard. You heard that, too?
Yeah.
So that'll be, they're going to be in a certain amount of flux. So all the more reason why we need somebody to stay in touch with them.
Well, it's not a quiet period either. There's a lot going on, I would imagine. And so we don't want to be dropping the ball and having issues that pop up. But it's going to be close to 9 months.
Right. So, we want things to keep rolling as best.
Absolutely. In that transition, Greater Fargo-Moorhead EDC is a real opportunity for Moorhead as well.
Yeah.
Especially since the word Moorhead is the biggest word on that whole logo.
It's certainly the longest word. Well, except for economic and development.
It's on the top.
It's on the top.
It's
prominently featured.
On the top. Yeah.
It's prominently featured. That's good. Okay. So, any further questions about that?
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. We'll move on to our new business. We want to have a little discussion about incentive programs because even before Cindy left, there was some discussion about this, if there should be any modifications. We're not ready to make any modifications yet, and we're really not going to have a lengthy discussion about this at the regular meeting because I don't think we're ready to... This is one of those things where I don't think we're ready to look at alternatives yet because we don't really have any. But I've invited Derek to be here with us at this meeting to talk a little more specifically about incentive things and how they work, at the regular meeting, I want him just to give us more of an overview of what he's working on so we know what's happening, because I think it's important for the EDA to continue to know what's happening in the downtown Morehead Inc. thing. It's all very intertwined and always will be. And I also do want to caution everyone on the EDA and Derek, you know, we are the Morehead Economic Development Director Authority. We're not the Downtown Morehead Economic Development Authority, but it's part of what we do. So we have to make sure that we keep things humming all over town. There are lots of areas. We obviously want Downtown Morehead to thrive and to grow. It's a huge, important spot for us, but we also need to keep sight of all the other things that are going on in town. There will be questions about out on by 34th. Hopefully something will happen more around Menards and Sam's Club, former Sam's Club building, and stuff like that. So anyway, that's the precursor into this discussion. But Derek and I and Dan had a meeting last week where we talked a little bit about the incentives program. So rather than me trying to, why don't you start?
Yeah.
Give us just an overview of what you're thinking, and then so we have an idea of how the discussion is going to be over the next month or so.
Right.
Do you mind if I just add just a little context to in addition? So, you know, a few months, just so we have the whole picture on the table, we got to go into this with full transparency.
Right.
So a few months ago, Chris had asked us to look at some incentives downtown. You know, Derek and I worked on the other side of the river, and we're talking about, downtown redevelopment and all that, and what programs would work, and attracting investment and development on this side of the river. There's a sense among many of us that the river really is more of a seam than a border, you know? And we have two cities, but it may come off, it could be, you know, real successful as one downtown, two cities, and really working on that and showing the bonds rather than otherwise. And so we did that, and Derek's gonna share some information. However, you know, as he's talking, I just want you to think about something that we discovered that I wasn't aware of. I don't know if Derek was, I don't know if you are either, but we've got these incentive policies, which are really great in your packet, but the incentives in the UP zone are the same as those citywide, with the exception of the ramp down, right?
So say that again.
Okay. The incentives in the urban progress zone are the same as the incentives citywide, with the exception of the ramp down. So if we pull out,
And residential gets a full exemption in the upzone, which they don't outside the zone.
And residential gets a full
exemption
value.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could support this 505 housing goal. So if we could just take a quick look at the policies as Derek gets started, just to kind of inform our thinking, if you have them. There's four policies. One is the urban progress zone, one's commercial and industrial property, the one's the multifamily, and the other one's the restaurants. And so the two that I'm talking about are the urban progress zone and the commercial industrial. Everybody doesn't have one, I've got an extra copy. So on page 2, if you look at them, the incentives are basically the same for the values, with the exception of the ramp down and the full exemption on residential properties. I just want to raise that, and then also say that, you know, as we get into this evaluation of incentives, which we're starting, rather than going and pulling a program or some ideas together and then coming back, it would really be great to do this assessment together right off the bat with input from the community. And that's what the EDA represents. I mean, that's really truly where the value is. And so we can go out and have these conversations and then come back and say, hey, this is something that is really going to work for Morehead. It's going to help us lead with our strengths, frankly, because there's so much more happening about Morehead than we're aware of right here in St. Paul. So I just want to raise that point, as you know, so we're talking, as Charlie said, we have a full city to represent here, and Derek represents the downtown, and you know, in that context, that's what our incentives look like. So
thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and really I've spoke with I think each and every one of you individually here, so, and that's been a number of months back, I think, with Bruce and Kathy. So really what my mindset was when I started was I really wanted to talk to a lot of the businesses, a lot of the developers in the region, try to figure out if you are doing business in Morehead, what has your experience been, what are some challenges that you face, What are the risks? How are you doing? And then if you're not, you know, why? You know, what has been the perception? And a lot of it has just been perception of people that have just heard over time, you know, some of the baggage that has came with, you know, dealing maybe with some of the politics of Moorhead. I don't think there's any denying kind of that in the history of Moorhead. It's been really positive having a lot of conversations with people out in the community. I think there's certainly a lot of interest in downtown Moorhead, interest in Moorhead specifically, but we're starting to see that obviously with momentum that you know, Cindy and Amy have brought and moving forward with some of the projects that are happening. Full transparency, as Dan said, I mean, 95% of the developers that I spoke to in the region didn't know what economic policies Moorhead had. I mean, that to me, I thought was one of the more glaring things, and that's just, again, being truthful with the situation, and it's not my opinion, that's just words of people's mouth that I've had conversations with. So I think really communicating what we have and building upon that can really make a difference on how we move forward. Some other things that came out of all these conversations was the complexities of the urban progress zone and just trying to understand kind of what it meant and what you can get out of it. There were some people that I had conversations with that disinvested based on the very small increments of the urban progress zone with the number of years. You know, you can get 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, as that small increment goes, and the small increments of investment and how it goes as well. That was a concern. Another concern was just how the program itself functioned and how it was assessed value, and it wasn't taking what the actual investment was. It was that assessment value post-project that determined what how many years you get for an exemption. A lot of people, you know, are willing to open their books and share exactly what their breakdown is of the cost that they're putting into the project that they would be held accountable to actually determine how many number of years they get for an exemption. Now, what I've done, kind of done, is obviously having conversations with a lot of different people, is just taking a stab at just a draft incentive program for the downtown. Looking at, you know, again, the strengths of the urban progress zone, the strengths of the Renaissance Zone in North Dakota specifically. Obviously, I know the Fargo side really well, but I've had a lot of conversations with the West Fargo folks. Had conversations with Dilworth, Barnesville, Detroit Lakes, a lot of the surrounding communities. My whole thing is, you know, if we're going to be successful as a city, we got to understand the policies around us in these other communities. And if, you know, we're more restrictive in a certain aspect, or if we're you know, if we're not giving out, I'm not going to say giving out, but if somebody's willing to get more on the table to attract a business, you know, what is our advantage here in Moorhead? And we got to tell that story and really make sure we're putting our best foot forward. So as you see this, as I pass it around, Amy, I have one for you too. I can go 3 on the side too.
So then are we thinking about the distinction then between downtown and all of Moorhead when we think about these programs, and so that we would, how are you thinking about that?
So full disclosure, until 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, I did not know that the urban progress zone was citywide.
Right.
Which makes it very challenging for downtown, not only downtown, but any older area of town to put, again, their best foot forward and try to focus on those hardest areas. Now, I think the conversation has to go to, at some point, you know, this is just an idea that I have. These are just concepts. This would be a plan itself. And then on the second to last page is really kind of the meat of it, of what it would look like at this table here. It's just simplifying basically the urban progress zone.
So that means that we need to think about all of Moorhead, I believe,
yes.
At the same time, I mean, they can't be disconnected, if I'm understanding.
It can't be.
Or at least that's what
it
I
can't
mean.
Be, but you
they
have
should
to
be the same, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know if they should or shouldn't at this point, right?
I have ideas on it, but it's not my place at this
right.
point, you know, but I think there certainly has to be, if we're going to look at a larger overhaul of the tax incentive policies, I think, you know, when this was established, I mean, I wasn't around when it was, but it obviously got some activity going, but certainly we all know that it's cheaper to buy land, potentially buy land and to develop on like a greenfield site in mm-hmm. South Moorhead, for example. Are those projects justified to get a 10-year exemption? That's a city EDA question.
Right.
Now, certainly, if somebody in South Moorhead gets a 10-year exemption where, you know, the only benefit maybe to come down here is to get the ramp down, is that enough benefit to get them to come downtown to deal with the railroads, to deal with smaller confinements from a building construction standpoint, environmental cleanup? You know, there's other factors that come into when you're dealing with an older town, part of town. So could there be more of a carrot to really get people to develop in downtown?
I think this gets back to the conversation we were having about what's the vision for the city of Moorhead and what we're going to invest in and the overall kind of economic landscape. We make the assumption that downtown is our most vibrant place to drive economic development within the city of Moorhead, but Moorhead is a different dynamic than even our counterparts of Fargo, which is a much more economically dynamic and diverse kind of environment than Moorhead is, and the size and the demographics and all of that. And I throw this out because you have a full-time job, and we talked about this in our vision kind of conversation we were having about what's the overall, what does Moorhead want to do? Do they want to create momentum in our industrial side and create, you know, server farms and create, you know, fill the big buildings that are floating all the way around the periphery of the city as a high priority, or do they want to do a density play in downtown? And those are questions at least I haven't heard an answer to. Or do they want to do both, which is totally valid. I'm like good with that, which is the conversation that we own as an EDA and a balanced one from the overall city to the downtown. And now we have a really strong emphasis on downtown, so it'll take it. And I'm happy about that, as you know. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that we are being thoughtful about what that looks like for the city and what the overall vision, which we don't own necessarily, but we need to support in some way, shape, or form.
And maybe, Dan, Chris, before we get too far along, because I think you guys, or we got the history from John Shockley of why, I think initially the focus of the Urban Progress Zone was going to be downtown, or at least a small area of that. Yeah. That philosophy changed in, I can't remember what year John said, but I don't know if you want to provide some context of.
Yeah, it's all complicated, but it would have been 3 to 5 years ago.
And we've walked through that story, and I think it's probably less to do with the UP. I mean, I do think it probably needs to be simplified. I don't know how you have it so diversified. You know, if you look at the demographics of that map, that's a pretty diverse kind of downtown transitional, you know, but Moorhead itself is that way. Like the city itself is essentially transitional, in my opinion. There's no like clear lines of anything happening.
So are you suggesting that this Renaissance Zone plan, as you're calling it here, would you suggest replacing the ramp down?
Are we calling it Renaissance Zone?
With that,
you can call it whatever.
Well, that's what he's calling it.
Yeah. It's well known, obviously, with the successes in West Fargo and Fargo itself. So,
is it a replication?
No.
Yeah. So
it's just
fine.
A name.
Yeah.
It's just
a name.
So, yeah. But the question is, are you talking about replacing that ramp down, or are you talking about?
I think you're.
I don't think you can do it in addition to.
I think it's totally looking at the Urban Progress Zone and redefining it and rewriting it to this small table that you see on the second to last page of this handout, which.
Citywide then?
This is just for me in downtown. But again,
so
it has to go.
So then, if that's the case, I don't know if we can do that without taking a look at the incentives citywide.
We have to have some incentives citywide.
Yeah,
we can't eliminate citywide.
That's why they're buried, and that's why I look in our transition, and the fact that Amy and Dan have full time. We're trying to figure out the time along, and I don't want to stop you. So I'm like, that's not the point. But we somehow have to figure out how to have a deep analysis across all of them. I think is my point.
Right.
I don't think we get to do one at the risk of the other.
This wouldn't do anything.
No.
Right now. Not from the information that I found out 2 weeks ago. This is meaningless unless it changed the UI. And I can tell you right now, just from all my knowledge of dealing with a lot of different cities and being and doing a lot of research, the reality is it's very, very rare for a city to give long-term exemptions for new growth. on the fringe areas of town.
I would agree with that.
Especially for long term. Now they may give, like, now we have the new home ownership stuff, that's new home build 2 years. You know, if you cap it or you have these limitations, but to get long term exemption years, it's really, really rare.
Unless it's a like a primary sector, the traditional high paying jobs and industrial.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it was.
So it's a little.
But it's not a strip mall.
I'm not thinking.
Well, the challenge there is that as soon as you build those things, then there are costs to the city in regards to chasing the streets and the water and the sewer, the new fire station, the new, you know, all the stuff, the police cars and gas and all that. So I had written down some notes. So if we're gonna talk about what we want to do. I'm hoping that the, you know, I'll just say, I don't know if this is going to be the correct way to say it or not, but it's just that what's on my mind.
That's
but
okay,
if we
none of us are technical EDs.
EDA.
On this side.
to direct staff and partner, right, to review and assess local, regional, and state incentives and evaluate the cost, the time, the money, the codes, the services, et cetera, so that we're leveling the playing field.
Yeah.
You know, and then coming back and having that story. And that story cannot come out of City Hall alone. I mean, that story really has to come from the community.
That's exactly what we're
hearing over and over and over again. So
I think about all of the kind of trends I've been spending on rural area trend analysis for the last 6 months on this, and server farms and distribution centers and that create high-paying jobs. They're not sitting there, that sit within the fringes of cities. They don't typically, at least in the rural areas, they'll move to the middle of Chicago and in the middle of New York because that's where they're driving distribution and they're driving activities. But Grand Forks is a perfect example of one. But if you go, there's a whole series of them that are cropping up in our world. And we, based on the trends happening with autonomous and all this stuff, we are geared for it in this community because we've got the infrastructure base, we've got the land, we've got all of that. So while I appreciate that they take interesting incentives, not just kind of our regular kind of incentive. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to solve to that. I just think that we need to be cognizant of the research and what we're looking at and the unintended, to your point, your story of doing a bike race and having unintended consequences that nobody stopped and ate in our city. We got to be kind of clear about that.
And it ended up being, I mean, it is the largest economic weekend in Park Rapids.
But
in 1997, there were questions about, hey, Dan.
So then let's not do today's work for tomorrow's business that we're trying to get to.
Well, it takes
vision. To,
yeah, it takes
exactly
vision.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't hard to see in 1997 that the future is going to be about health, especially when we know that, so the boomers, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be very active and kids are in the future of health and wellness and all that.
Which is a whole other story on your downtown kind of density housing.
The challenge, and I'll be, again, really clear with this too.
Yep.
So if we're just looking at downtown, and I've ran probably 20 different case scenarios with this new table on where exemptions have been granted already in downtown and where they would fit on our new scale. But the big constraint with the urban progress zone, specifically for a downtown mixed use environment, is the job creations component. Jobs will come, but as somebody comes in for your approval at the EDA or at the city council level, majority of those developers do not know who their tenants will be until the building is built or close to being open. I've talked to Roberts Commons in downtown Fargo. Based on your chart, would not be eligible for the urban progress zone in downtown Moorhead.
Yeah.
That's scary.
When we had the conversation with somebody, I don't know, January or whatever, and we had to say no based on our policy, which was an ugly thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't debate it. Like, you know, it's an odd world we live in. But
I think we made some exemptions too for it. So
I think
we're open to the idea of changing up the jobs requirement.
Yeah.
That's not an issue. Let me ask a question. So this 4-year ramp down, you talk like it's not worth anything.
It's worth something, but it's not a big determining factor. The reality, though, is 95% of the people don't know your exemptions. If everybody in this community knew what this...
That's a big no-no. They should know.
Well, they should know, but if they knew, this city would be bankrupt.
Based on our policies, on our current incentive
program. If you're given 10-year exemptions to new growth, how does the city make money?
And that's been my kind of mantra since I started, is our tax base is so
low. You have to pay for infrastructure.
And we're not going to get that back for up to 20 years because we're given these huge exemptions. And so what do we have to do? We have to raise levies, right, in order to get some bigger tax base and tax money. And anyway, it's a self-perpetuating problem.
Well, how long, I'm not going to go into history, so I'm not worried about that. But the obviously, what is the current state of incentive? I mean, do we have a lot of usage over the last 5 years of our incentive programs? To your point, you're talking people who could be investors in the city, I'm guessing, is who you were talking to in that 95%. So it wasn't, you talked to current, but and could be.
Yes.
And of the could be, 95% said they did not know. Is it been a wildly used incentive program over the last 5 years? I don't know who can answer that.
You know, my sense is that it's ticking up, no doubt about it, especially in the last couple. But that would be something that would be nice to see on a graph and to see where it is going.
Yeah.
You know,
we just started asking for some data like that.
So did Hornbachers use this?
Yes.
Did Azul use it? Huh?
The Azul Plaza.
Yeah.
Not specifically Hornbachers, but that plaza.
The developers of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I have experience on exactly how that program works. We could go up and ask Christy Leshevsky, and they would have been checking in with planning for the 5 years prior. They want to know the number of rooftops, the number of heads.
Right.
They get to a factor, a value, and they're in. They're coming no matter what.
Yep.
And they found it. They got it.
So should we give that away?
Cash-wise is doing it too.
So the city then has to you have to understand some policies and say, okay, maybe we still need to incentivize. Maybe we still need to compete with our surrounding communities, and that's fine. But is 10 a good number? 10 years? Is 3? Is 2? Is nothing? I mean, that's something that you guys have to come up as a city to make sure that, again, you're not giving away everything.
Yeah,
and you're going to put yourself
in
the hole. Or
there's a lot of information that needs to be had before we can have an opinion.
And which just brings us right back to what I said at the beginning, is we need people who understand this stuff to bring us some alternatives.
Yes.
Not necessarily just two, but maybe two or three different versions of this, how you would think about it in terms of here's a Renaissance zone plan for downtown, but then we also have to have, here's what we think the incentive should be outside of. Maybe they shouldn't be 10 years. Maybe they should be 3, 4, 5, maybe 5-year max, that kind of thing. Personally, I don't think we can abandon incentives for the rest of the community because we still need to develop those areas. Plus we need, so I think we need 3. I think we need a downtown zone. I think we need commercial and residential development, not downtown. But then we also need a different incentive plan for the industrial park. Because that's not something we want to shut off. We want to have, or am I wrong about that?
No.
I think we want to have incentives like this in Macara because we want that to grow. We want to attract businesses like you were just talking about. So those are, so basically I think we have 3 zones in my mind that need to be dealt with.
Derek and Dan might have read your mind on that.
Well, yeah.
Again, I can't even, it's not even my place, but this is just where my mind goes.
I want you to be a great advocate for downtown, and I know you're going to try to squeeze all of it because you're looking for the same information we are, right?
Well, the reality is for downtown, Moorhead to be successful, the whole community has to be successful.
Completely.
So, again, do I feel that there should be some caveats for some carrots for a tougher area to redevelop with our railroad tracks and our cleanup sites and everything else? Absolutely. But, you know, Dan's kind of looked at it, I've looked at it, but you have to create maybe some other zones in your community that you can identify that are troublesome or that need that additional assistance, that maybe you have a different limitation on the number of years. Maybe it looks similar to what I have proposed here, but maybe you're limited to only 10 years.
Right.
Or something.
Well, and simplification is good. You know, you don't want to have like 20 complicated policies. And
I
agree,
this is
too much. There's a lot of stuff here.
There's
I can see breaking this down into fewer increments.
But then you look citywide and you say, okay, you know what? We've done our research, we've talked, and then this is going to take time, right? You talk to a lot of different people and it says, you know what? Zules Plaza could have got away with a 3-year exemption. Maybe they were coming regardless, but a 3-year little
tick. Is this important enough for us to pay somebody to do a full analysis for us? And I just throw that on the table. The same thing you created, we need written up on the full side. And I know we were starting that, and then random acts of conversation is what I'm struggling with versus a options that
we need up. Somebody
yeah.
need somehow we need to
so
develop options. Whether we hire
I'm
someone else
to
do it, yeah.
The who
mm-hmm.
is what I'm trying to answer here.
Because when I'm looking at this, you guys showed me this before, but Runnings and Target, 34th Street and 94, 8th Street and 94, that's all one thing in my mind. That's all.
Sure.
I think you would have the same kind. So we don't want to overcomplicate, because here you got maybe 5 different kind of. That's too many. I think the industrial park is one thing, downtown's one thing, and maybe everything else is something else. Unless somebody
you just have
can
to figure out what your goals and objectives are for that area.
Right.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Downtown, you can have a goal objective of mixed use and everything else. You can have a different objective in the industrial park with jobs
right.
and everything else.
Can I make a quick suggestion?
Yes.
As a way to look at this.
So a lot of circles on this.
There's a lot of circles.
Yeah.
This is all.
Yeah.
This is my draft. I just
gave it back.
There's only like three
circles. Three different kinds of
circles. Right.
I don't know.
This is,
I see 4
is,
colors.
Is,
and I'm a
nose
person.
So,
yeah.
And
yeah, there are 4.
But the point is that the future of redevelopment in cities is in these 70s era strip malls. That's what Moorhead has. That's what drew me to Moorhead. That's what makes Moorhead so fertile. There are these big areas, and they're South I-94, they're East 10, and then they're downtown. They're all these 70s-era strip malls. Downtown projects, if you wanted to get it done, you needed to start it 25 years ago. It's done. But Moorhead doesn't have a traditional downtown. It is a 70s-era strip mall. And so the new ideas and the activity and what the future, how the future is going to be invented is going to be in these 70s-era strip
yeah.
malls that have huge parking lots. We're going to be able to change the way they feel and look and all that kind of stuff. And they're redevelopment areas with infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. So as we look at this, right, as a 70s era, strip area, right, they basically are the same. So you've got the East 10 area, 70s era strip mall,
mm-hmm.
the downtown, which the elephant in the room is the 70s era strip mall right in the middle of the place, and the and then South 94, right? And then scattered throughout are these places that we all love, these walkable neighborhood centers. That was the hope for the campus town, and that's what's, the hope for down at Azul, that you could walk. They're not just these areas that you can only drive. And so it's a sense of how we do it. So, going forward, I don't know, getting a consultant that will take us 6 months or a year or whatever,
mm-hmm.
perhaps
that's
it's a goal for,
good.
Hey, downtown we want to create a neighborhood. And to do that, people need to live there. We've got incentives to increase, residential and all that kind of stuff. The 70s era strip mall, we're ahead of the scale. We're going to move on that and set goals up for that. And then we've got our focus and our programs. We sit down, we get the information from the community, and we find out what's going to work for Moorhead. And this is what communities do all the time. They look at their incentives, they find out where they're at. It's not starting something totally new. It's taking what has been, what's been going on here since.
Well, it sounds like you have a very clear vision in your head. My point is, how do we have a valid conversation about that?
Yeah.
Broader than you two.
Right.
That includes the
yeah.
EDA.
And you have to anticipate that people who want to develop in other parts of the community are going to have very strong opinions
right.
about throwing all of the money toward downtown. They're going to
yeah.
want to have some kind of incentive available out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to articulate why it will be different. Because it hasn't been up to this point. And people have taken advantage of it.
Yep.
Ken Martin took advantage of
yeah,
it. And
there's a lot of
for whatever the hell is happening down at the old Days Inn, whatever it is, he got some incentives based on this plan, right, that we worked out for him. So, it's not that people don't know about it. I mean, I think people do know about it. If Azul got it, people know about it. I think...
Well,
I don't think we're keeping
fairness,
it from
in fairness, the conversations I've had with people is it fair, right? Is the incentive...
That's the question. Is it fair?
And so that's where it would be
you're
great
have
if
to
the
answer
DEA
that.
right?
Well, is it about fair, or is it about a shared vision that gets us to an end game? Like, it's,
and everyone's,
I mean,
fair
different.
Is different things to different
people. I was like, that's a tough, I'm not going to go for fair.
The only way it's, the only way it's fair is if it's citywide exactly the same way. That's the only way you can say this is the way it is. It's perfectly fair, everybody drinks from the same trough. But, yes, of course, we can discuss the possibility of having different incentives in different parts of town. I get that.
I think it has to be as consistent and thoughtful and aligned to the vision that we as a city want, we as a community, not city government, community want to accomplish, and those incentives need to support it. That makes it fair.
Right.
In the sense that they're aligned to that.
Makes it
and
fair.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this because I'm already in alignment to what a downtown looks like. But where is it that says, okay, in each one of those strip mall kind of worlds or walkable communities, what are we incenting? What kind of behavior? Is it all restaurants with supportable work kind of companies? Is it that's the conversation that on ROI numbers that I'd like to see.
Perfect. Yeah, but and that's not our role either.
Yeah.
So what a community can do, what a city or an EDA can do is set the table so that amazing things that the public or the people, the entrepreneurs, the people have, where they can do it. Because if we start getting real prescriptive, then all of
it's
a sudden.
Not what I said. Okay. If I'm a restaurant, or if I am a restaurant and you create an incentive because you know you need some restaurants there because you want it to be a walkable community and you want to create an environment, then we've got to create an incentive plan that supports that, right? Isn't that our job, to create incentives for the types of communities that we want to create? How they create them, how they use it, I'm not there to run their businesses. I'm hoping they're inspired. Well,
yeah, but
what this group could do.
We certainly can't create incentives that are specific to a particular business.
Well, I'm just going on. I use that as a, because we have a policy for restaurants. I was just going through all of this. And if the incentive is we're going to drive people who live in Moorhead first and not worry about walkable and restaurant, then it's commercial, right? You need jobs. Where is this information other than in your head? You flipped it out. You had all of this. I'll read this on the airplane when I get on it today. Who's going to do that for us?
So that's a good question. And I want to share it. So this isn't all. I don't have it all figured out. That was never ever my intention, is to show that it was all. I needed to sit down and see the city and how it's connected and where, you know, people live, where people work, and then that third place is where they want to be, right?
Yeah.
And so if these things are the circles in these neighborhoods, these are where. And I'm like, okay, these are where the things that people want to be, and that's where we partner up, you know. And I don't know what that looks like.
So I'll get back to my question. Mm-hmm. So will you be running the process and the planning to help us coordinate, because we don't want to slow down downtown to do this? Question.
So what I'm asking is I think that's a function of, say, an EDA representatives from the community that live in the neighborhoods, that know what the community wants, that have been working on this a long time. We can, you know, facilitate it, do the convenings, if we have to do any research or pull information and all of that. But
so
that's
program management. I totally get the community has to have a voice. Program management is a lot of work.
Program management is a lot of work.
That's what I'm
asking. If that is a priority that's what I'm asking. If that's what the EDA.
Well,
I think
we need to, I think we all kind of get the idea here. We need, first of all, for the next meeting, we're going to just barely touch on this discussion and say we're looking at things. We understand that we may have to
be quiet in the big meeting.
Huh?
That's him telling me to be quiet in the big meeting.
We're going to.
That's why we have these, so I can.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying you have to be quiet. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think we're ready for this discussion with the whole group.
We are not.
Except to tell the group that this is kind of where we're at, and we are looking at the incentive programs, and there's a general consensus among the executive committee and the staff and some outside people that we need to consider some of these. We're not ready to bring any suggestions forward. We need to have some, and this comes back to my original statement, that is, the EDA needs to have some proposals brought to it to consider, intelligent proposals, and we may want to tweak them, but it's, you know, we don't really have the wherewithal to come up with the proposals. So that's what you guys are all working on. So
We had approved this already in our vision meeting, and then the meeting right after that, that we talked about re...
That we were going to look at it.
Yeah, reviewing the policy.
Yeah, this is not really entirely new to us at all, but...
Charlie, can I ask, is this separate from the downtown study, that $60,000? How does that play into this?
Well, the downtown study could be used for a variety of different things. And again, I wasn't here when Bob Booth and Dave Anderson came to the EDA board to what they asked for, but my thought would be is that you're setting a vision, you're setting out a long-term goal, you're analyzing street sidewalks, incentives, all sorts of stuff to push forward our downtown.
So,
that's how I...
But you haven't hired anyone to do that yet. But
no, we don't have
the
budget either.
We're going to come... I'm going to come with their latest proposal agreement. I think that's what you guys said you wanted, some kind of a simple agreement.
Right.
As soon as we can, we might have to have another meeting to talk about all this, by the way. I was going to ask
another
maybe,
executive committee meeting?
Maybe mid-July or something.
Sure,
but
sure.
Anyway, we can talk about that to get that moving. You already approved the money, and we just need to get that agreement done.
The tough
done.
Part is that, again, 60 grand in the grand scheme of things isn't very much for a standard downtown plan.
Mm-hmm.
In Fargo, we spent $450,000 on a plant. Now, I think that's very extreme. We have a little bit more of an isolation, and I'm working with some different groups to figure out how much we can get with that $60,000 with some different scopes of works. But Grand Forks has been sharing some information. They had a pretty confined action plan that they were looking forward to. But that's the question of what we can get with $60,000.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to that at a different meeting.
Okay.
And very, very... Short too. I mean, this is just an idea.
These are
just meant to be an idea generator. It's not going to be the only way or my way or the highway type of thing. This is just an opportunity to lay some things out there and really kind of have an honest conversation of where we want to move forward with, or if this is an idea we should move forward with. But I think it has to be constantly evolving. Certainly the urban progress zone has done well in areas, so. But we have to constantly reevaluate on where we're at and making sure we're getting the best product for our city and our community.
Okay.
Do we have to wrap it up here?
We probably should, yeah.
It's been 10:45 the whole time, and I thought we were running late, and I thought we were, this clock is...
It's 10:24, so if we're going to have a little lunch, we should probably wrap this up. And I think we kind of know where we're going, anyway, unless there was something else you wanted to do. Okay. All right, let's we'll have another meeting, and we'll have further discussion of this, but we need some policy, we need some ideas. So, okay, this meeting's adjourned.